Good morning. My name's Annette, for people who don't know me, and I'm going to do the Bible reading today. It's from Matthew 11, and it's verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Well, in line with tradition here at Kings Park Community Church, we have a summer series over the last weeks of December, the last week of December and the bulk of January. And I felt that this year, an excellent topic for those sermons would be the topic of rest. Now, I don't know about you, but I have had a busy year. To begin with, I've known from the beginning of this year that I would be finishing up at school in September and diving straight into the insanity that was my PhD. I didn't realise quite how insane it would be, but here we are. Then, of course, Dad got sick, and a few other members of the extended family too. Youth group has been joyful, but also a lot of work. Being an elder is also a lot of effort. I've had one daughter start university and the other finish university. And even without all that, there's the usual grind, the usual back and forth of life in which weird things just happen at the point when you least expect them. And even if they don't, we've got periods of time when there's just so much that needs to be done. Christmas. You all know that. Put your hand up if you can relate to this. And yes, that's no great surprise. Everyone relates. Preachers in Pentecostal churches often say, hands going up all around the room. I don't think that's quite what they have in mind. But so it was that I thought it was a good time right now, after Christmas is done and when the new year is almost upon us, to start looking at what the Bible tells us about rest. And it turns out there's a lot in Scripture about rest. Much of what it says is about taking time regularly to rest from the everyday routine. And over the next few weeks, different speakers will be looking about different aspects about how we can rest in God as a regular part of the spiritual life. It is always a good idea to start with Christ's own words. And today I want to begin this series by looking at how Jesus himself invites us to rest. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father God Almighty, thank you so much for all that you have done for us. I pray that as we go into this passage today and we look at what it says about rest, I pray that each one of us won't just hear it and say, hey, that's a good idea. I pray that every single one of us will take this and put it into practice, make it part of our lives. We ask these things in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, by the way, I am going to let you guys know this is actually going to be a shorter sermon than usual. I'm sorry about that. I know most people prefer a long sermon. Okay, never mind. Okay. But we're going to be looking at this now. Our society has what I would consider a troubled relationship with rest. I would be almost prepared to bet you've had a similar experience to me. Imagine you're doing something fun, something you enjoy, something that builds into your life, and then you get a phone call, and someone asks you one of the most dreaded questions in the English language. Are you busy? It feels like you can really only say no if you're busy. When somebody gives you a request, it feels like you know that request is coming and you feel like you can't say no to it unless you are busy. And unfortunately, whether this is intentional or not, we often feel like our need for rest and recreation isn't important, because if we're doing rest and recreation, by definition, we're not busy. Now, Australians are a bit weird about their work. Now, I'm going to tell you, everybody in Australia thinks of themselves as laid back and relaxed. But the reality is that we're actually very hard workers. And not only that, we value hard work. And if you're catching up with a friend you haven't seen for a while, what's the first question you ask? Well, it's, how you going? And 9 times out of 10, the answer is going to be something like, not bad, flat out like a lizard drinking, or really, really busy. Who's heard that? Okay, we often take pride in the number of hours that we actually work. I can remember years ago that the principal of the school I was working at the time would always be the first to arrive at work and the last to leave. Whenever you drove past the school, his car was nearly always in the car park, despite the fact that he lived over an hour's drive away from the school. And we kind of thought of that as a big sign of just how dedicated he was. That was something we respected in him. But there is a problem with this attitude, and that is that ultimately it's unhealthy. It's bad for us. In 2015, the Harvard Medical School found that people who work longer than 55 hours a week have a 13% higher risk of stroke, heart attacks, and type 2 diabetes than those who worked a 40-hour week. They also found that this group was more likely to suffer from anxiety or depression. And I don't think this comes as a surprise for anybody. And Christians, what? Are we immune? No way. In fact, we're often the worst offenders. Have you ever heard somebody talk about the Protestant work ethic? Christians the world over are known for being hard workers. And that's not the worst of it either. Not only are Christians likely to overwork for our secular employers, we also carry this attitude over to our spiritual lives. The word gospel literally means good news. We are told that Christ has taken our sin away and that we are free to have eternal life. This should be the best news any human could ever hear, and yet many of us don't act like it. Instead, we treat our faith as an opportunity to do even more things. We fill our weekends as well as our weekdays with feverish activity to find a whole new range of things we need to do. Often, at some level, we feel like it's earning God's favor. In short, Christians not only often overwork in our day jobs, we often overwork for God as well. Now, there is value in doing whatever work that we do well. I'll say that again. There is value in doing whatever work that we do well. I am not knocking work. I'm not knocking taking your work seriously and doing it well. But nowhere in the Bible are we called to overwork. In fact, in today's passage, we read that Jesus calls us to do the very reverse. Come to me, he says, and you'll find rest for your soul. We'll go into that passage in detail shortly, but first let's look at some Greek. The word we're looking at in Greek of the week today is anapau, and it will surprise you not at all to learn that this is the word used in Matthew chapter 11, 28 for rest. Shock, I know, but there you go. Now, one nice feature of this word is it actually has an English connection, and I'll bet some of you have spotted it straight away. Pause, that's right. The syllable in the middle of the word, pau, is related to the English word pause. Pardon me. And it means to stop. But when you put it in the context of anapau, it doesn't just mean to pause. It means it's contrasted with being weary and burdened. It doesn't just mean to stop working or even just to sleep. It means so much more than that. Anapau means a rest that soothes, a rest that refreshes. It can be translated as take it easy. And this is a word that we'll come back to again and again over the next 4 weeks. Now that we understand that word, anapau, and recognize that, I should say one little detail here. I've got it as anapau, but it says up there anapauso, because that's the in the context, that's how it's done. In Greek is an inflected language. If you don't know what that means, I'll need to explain that and it'll take several hours. But that's okay. Now that we understand the word, we're going to have a look at the passage. It's a short passage, but it divides neatly into three sections. Now, the first section gives us Jesus' invitation. Jesus says, come to me. It is a personal, a relational call. It's not a transaction. And we can tell this because he tells us who he's talking to. Who is it? All who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Now, who is weary or burdened? Depending on when you ask, I would say that that's something that most of us would fit into at different times of our lives. Some more than others. But I doubt that any of us would ever put ourselves completely outside the category of weary and burdened. We can become weary or burdened in lots of ways. Sometimes the burden comes from outside. We might be burdened because of the work we are already bound to do. We can be burdened with responsibilities. We can be burdened with things that have gone wrong in our lives. We can be burdened if we are sick or chronically ill, or if a family member or friend is sick or chronically ill. We can be burdened by the breakdown of a relationship, by difficult people, by grief, by stress, by any of a million other things. A lot of these are just normal parts of life, but they leave us weary and burdened. But even if there's nothing external to burden us, there's plenty going on in our own hearts and minds that can burden us just fine. I don't know about you, but I'm certainly often my own harshest critic. I know that I've been known to find myself reviewing things I did in the past that others have probably completely forgotten and realizing, well, that was a silly thing to do. I don't know if you do that. I certainly do. We put expectations of perfection on ourselves that we would never dare give anybody else. Now, the offer that Jesus gives us is three things. Firstly, it's simple. He doesn't discriminate. He doesn't say, come to anyone whose weariness is from external factors because internal factors, that's your own fault. No, he doesn't say that. He says, come to me, all who are weary. Come to me, all who are burdened. It's certain. He puts no restrictions on his offer. He just says, I will give you rest. And it's sufficient. There is nothing else needed. Jesus' offer of rest is simple, certain, and sufficient, and we need nothing else. Okay, so we've received the invitation and come to Jesus. Now what? Well, we then look at the pathway to rest. Now this is divided into two parts. Take my yoke and learn from me. The word yoke isn't one we use a lot today, but it was once a very important concept. When you harnessed a pair of animals to work in the fields, you would place them in a yoke. And the yoke has the job of directing the power of the two animals into the plow or the cart or whatever it is the animals are pulling. The idea is that the yoke distributes the load more or less evenly between the two animals and enables them to put their strength into the work. So because of this, the yoke became a symbol of hard work of many kinds. Often it implied slavery, since a form of yoke was used by human slaves. Or it might become a symbol of one nation controlling another. We might say that Israel was under the Assyrian yoke. So that's an odd word for Jesus to use. Why did he say we should take on a yoke for him when he's talking about rest? Well, he asks us to take on a yoke because he doesn't remove responsibility. Rather, he recontextualizes it. He transforms responsibility. You see, life on earth will always involve responsibility and work. But if we are responsible to Jesus, then he promises that the burden that we carry will be lighter than what we are carrying now. As well as taking on his yoke, Jesus asks us to learn from him. As we start 2025, we'll be looking at the Sermon on the Mount, which is really a distilled version of Jesus' teaching. Some of the teaching Jesus gives there is hard, and again, like a yoke, it seems a strange thing to combine with rest. But if we think about what we're already carrying, it's nothing. What are we already carrying? Well, there's all sorts of things. When I was looking at what burdens people carry, there were two things that came up a lot when I looked this up. First one was legalism, a list of rules that are impossible to follow. Now, this was a major feature of the worship of the Pharisees and Sadducees, who spent hours and hours honing their understanding of the Jewish law. But it's not limited to them. Christians are really, really good at getting so caught up in the minutiae of what they believe that we lose sight of the reality of what God wants for us. If our faith becomes legalistic, it becomes exhausting because there's no end to that. But if there's one thing that's more exhausting than legalism, it's self-reliance. Now, that's something that's a big one in Australia and in any part of the Western world. Self-reliance. We seem to automatically assume that we need to do everything by ourselves. We don't like to ask for help. Now, what is the contrast that Jesus gives to this kind of burden? Well, it's in his character. As opposed to the arrogance found in the legalism and self-reliance of the Pharisees and Sadducees, Jesus describes himself as gentle and humble of heart. That's the opposite. Jesus is approachable and compassionate. When someone comes to him who is heavy and burdened, he promises he's not going to be making their load heavier. And what is the result? Jesus promises that you will find rest for your soul. Now, here we must make a distinction. He's not talking about normal physical rest. That's important. We need that as well. But Jesus is talking about something deeper, something more important than mere physical rest. Jesus is talking about a rest that lasts. When we rest in Christ, we don't just get more energy to continue all that we need to do. We find that we are spiritually renewed. We find that we have hope. We find that we have joy. Christ's rest, above all, relieves us of a weight we weren't meant to be carrying in the first place. The weight of guilt. Because of the cross, guilt is taken away. The weight of worry. We can pass our concerns to him because he cares for us. The weight of striving for the approval of others. His approval is all that we need. Okay, so this is what Jesus says. We've got this very simple passage. Come to me, take my yoke, learn from me, I will give you rest. You will find rest for your souls. So let's be practical then. How do we actually live in Christ's rest? What do we actually do differently? Well, the first thing we need to do is to approach Christ with an attitude of humility. He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Now, coming to him is relatively easy, but it's the second part that's the trick. Admitting to him that we are weary, that we are weary, that we are burdened, and that we can't do this on our own. What does it mean to come to him? Well, coming to Christ is not just a one and done thing. It's not something that you just do once in your life and that's it. Coming to Christ is about developing a lifestyle of approaching him daily through prayer, scripture, through worship. And remember, he is approachable, he is humble, he is gentle. And we will find rest if we come to him. Secondly, this is the one I find difficult. We need to trust him with the burdens that we carry. It's one thing to bring your burden to Christ in the first place, but I've often found it difficult to leave the burden with him. So often I pray that Jesus would take over the thing that's concerning or worrying me, and then the next thing I know, here's me worrying about it again. I'm seeing a few smiles around the room. I'm guessing I'm not the only person who does this. The problem is trust. When we give our burden to Jesus only to take it back from him, what we're actually doing is we're communicating a lack of trust. The good news here is that he will never reject us when we come back to him, even if that happens over and over again. Our Savior loves us and will be faithful to us even when we lack faith. It doesn't matter if you've taken your worries back from him 100 times, so long as you hand them back to him 101 times. Finally, we need to continue to learn from Jesus. As I noted before, this sounds like extra work, but that's not how it really is. I've always loved the way that Eugene Peterson, who was the writer of The Message, paraphrased this verse. He says, "Learn the unforced rhythms of grace." I love that. "Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." I think that's fantastic. Now, there is discipline in what Christ asks of us. Can we flip to the last slide, please? The thingy's not working anymore. The last line of this slide, thank you. There we go, thank you. All right. There is discipline in what Jesus asks of us, but he is teaching us to live a life that is free rather than one that is weighed down with care. If we take the time to do as Jesus says and learn from him, bit by bit, we will learn how to avoid the crushing burden of overwork, both in our everyday lives and in our spiritual lives. As we saw in the video at the start of this service, God set the pattern during the process of creation. On the seventh day, God rested. He expects us to do the same. God didn't create us to simply work and work and work and work until we drop. That's not what God made us for. He created us with the expectation that we would take time to rest. No matter how heavy our burdens are, Jesus reminds us to come to him, and if we do, he will give us rest. Let's pray. Father God Almighty, we thank you for your rest. We thank you for the rest that Jesus gives us. And Lord, I ask that you'd help each one of us here to live that rest. Help us to come to you with our burdens. Help us to give you the burdens. Help us to leave the burdens with you, and help us to learn from you. I pray that you help each one of us to take that rest that is so important in the next few weeks' time. We ask these things in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. For our friends who are watching church online today, it will shortly be time to say goodbye. I would encourage you, wherever you happen to be, to take some bread and juice and to use that to remember what Jesus has done for us. And as you do, think particularly of how important Jesus' death and resurrection is to you in giving you rest for your soul. We love you, and we'll see you next week. The rest of you, you can't go yet. For the rest of you, we will now have time to respond to what Christ has done. It is ultimately the fact that Christ has died and risen that takes away our sin. The biggest burden that any of us carry. And because of that, we have peace with God. That's a great reason for rest, if one ever existed. Let's take time now to thank God for all that Christ has done and for the rest he has given us. And as always, please make space for people with quiet voices. After a suitable time, we will share some communion together.